cloud is named. Mr. Badger will tell our audience about early days in Fairbanks. Mr. Badger, in what year did you come to Fairbanks?
1903.
That was quite a while ago. What happened after, during that first year?
Well, the first year we just laid around and watched each other whittle sticks, because this was a peculiar stampede. There wasn't any pay in sight when we got here. It was one of those things that the stampede was started by Captain Barnett, who landed his trading post here because he couldn't get any farther up the river. He didn't intend to stop here at all. He is headed for Tanana Crossing, but the water was too shallow for his boat, so he stopped here. Then Felix Pedro saw the smoke of a steamboat down here and came down from his location on Pedro Creek to see what was going on. And he had a conference with Captain Barnett, and it resulted in Cap sending a Jap up to Dawson telling us that they had 9 feet of pay dirt that would go 25 cents to a pan. That's 25 cents to a shovel full of gravel.
That's pretty good.
And that's very rich indeed. But there wasn't any such thing in sight. In fact, Mr. Pedro, who had made a discovery on Pedro Creek, it was all you could call it, was just a discovery. There was 3 cents to the pan on bedrock if you scraped the bedrock. So it didn't look very good. I came in here with a man by the name of Murdoch, Grant Murdoch. And Grant decided that we'd stake a claim on Gold Stream. And he would sink a hole there, and I'd come into town and look after things here. Which we did. Well, there wasn't any pay in the hole we sank, and nobody else had any pay there. I think there was pay on Fairbanks Creek, but no one knew it at that time. So Mr. Murdoch went back to Dawson and wanted me to come along, and I said, no, there's a lot of good-looking hills here, and I want to see what's on the other side of some of them. I'm going to stay, which I did. So that following summer, we heard a rumor that there was pay on Fairbanks Creek, and a man by the name of McChesney, who, by the way, was the first editor of the Fairbanks News Miner in Fairbanks, we walked out there. We found some fellows who had gotten a hole down and had quite a pile of gravel outside on top of the ground. And we went up and introduced ourselves and asked him what they had, and they told us it was none of our business. Well, I said, would you mind, we've come out from Fairbanks on the rumor that there's pay here and we'd like to know something about it. Get off of this claim and stay off of it. And I said, all right, that's the way you feel about it. So we went up on the hill and sat down, ate our lunch. I said, let's just watch those guys and see when they go to bed. I'm going to get some pay, some dirt off of that pile. So finally, when their smoke went out and there was no sign of life, I had him posted on top of the hill to watch, and I said, if you see him, why whistle? And I sneaked down and got up there with a bandana handkerchief and filled it full of gravel. We went back and we went up the creek, up Fairbanks Creek, and we found an old greasy frying pan, and we panned the gravel that I had in that, and we got $2.50 in gold. So we figured that there was a real strike on Fairbanks Creek. The next one was on Clary Creek, Discovery Claim. We went out there. This was getting along about, pretty near about 1st of June, I guess. Well, a man that was rocking, had a long tom, rocking the gravel, hoisting it up out of the hole, that I knew very well, knew him up in Dawson, knew him very well, and I asked him, what do you got here? He said, wait till I get this hopper empty and I'll show you something. He took the lid off of the rocker, big long rocker, and it was just a streak of yellow gold clear down to the end. He says, we have to clean up every 2.5 hours because it runs over. So we came home and I opened up a real estate office. I was figuring that this was a camp, it was nothing good. Well, the appearance of the town when we got here, there were a few log cabins on Front Street already built, and there were a good many being built further back as far as 3rd Avenue.
Front Street is what is
First Avenue
now?
That's First Avenue, yes. There were a few log cabins there, and a few more being built, a good many being built. There were a lot of people here that came, almost all of Circle City came over here. And they were all building cabins because the regulation was that you had to stake your claim, record it with the town recorder, which cost you two and a half. Then you had to build a cabin in 30 days.
Hmm.
And if you couldn't make it on account of food shortage, they gave you a 30-day extension of time and you could go to Circle to get food, which a good many of them did. When there was anything happened like stealing or bad accidents, shooting at scrapes or something of that kind, we had no judge, we had no court, we had no policeman. We called a miners' meeting and everybody came. Then they would elect a chairman and a secretary. Then both sides would be, each side would tell his part of the story. And this meeting would decide which one was right.
It was a direct Republican type of government.
Exactly. And there was no appeal from that. If a man was told to get out of town in 24 hours, why, he got, and he knew that he had to get out. He did. We had one shooting scrape. A man got shot, and it occurred over the town recorder selling a cabin. A man came in here and started a cabin and got it all up with the doors and windows and had to go to Circle after food. He left his cabin uncompleted, got a 30-day leave of absence. It was late in the spring and the trail was breaking and he could not make it back in the 30 days. So this town recorder, William Dunkel, who's got a street named after him,
Dunkel Street,
thought that, well, he's forfeited his rights, so he sold the cabin. The guy that bought it put a roof, doors, and windows in it, and the man that started came back. He found his cabin occupied. Well, he got a few drinks, and he thought the best thing that he could do was to give Bill Dunkel a thrashing, which he proceeded to do, and he gave him a good one. Then he got a few more drinks, and he decided he got a pick handle, and he decided he'd just beat his head off. And poor Bill, he ran into George Noble's saloon and asked for protection. George says, well, get in my bedroom back there, back to bar. He got in there, and as he went by, he picked up George's six-shooter that lay on the bench and took it in with him. Directly, this man, Coombs, came in. And he knew he was in there, and he wanted him, and Noble says, no, you can't come in here. There wasn't any gun there for George to enforce his word, so he jumped over the bar and went in and kicked the door in, and as he came in, he shot him. He got over it, but it was pretty serious. Well, we called a miners' meeting. The verdict was that Billy got what he had coming when he got a licking. That should have ended it. Dunkel had a right to protect his own life. That squared things. Case dismissed.
That's very interesting. I'm wondering if you could tell us where Fairbanks Creek and Clary Creek is located, because some of the new people here won't realize just exactly where these two first strikes were.
Well, the first strike that we got word of was on 8 above Discovery on Fairbanks Creek. I don't remember the names of the men who there were three Irishmen, and they left Dawson the same time that we did. They had one partner down here, and he had made a strike while he was waiting for his partners to come. That is on Fairbanks Creek, 8 above Discovery. The other strike was at the mouth of Wolf Creek on Discovery claim of Clary Creek. That's where the big strike was. Then, just in a matter of 30 days after that, why, there was 100 strikes all over. There was holes wherever they'd put a hole down on Clary Creek or Fairbanks Creek, they'd strike pay. It was all pay.
Well, where are these two creeks from Fairbanks now?
Clary Creek is about 16 or 18 miles from Fairbanks. You'll go out the Steese Highway, and that goes right down through the whole length of the creek. Fairbanks Creek, you go out the Steese Highway until you get to the summit where the Summit Roadhouse is.
Yeah.
Where you go down into Clary and you go straight over this way to the right to go to Fairbanks Creek. That heads there in Pedro's Dome, all of them do.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Another thing I think that people will wonder about is you talk about these people going to Circle City for their food. Circle City is about 150 miles from here, I believe.
I think it's 163 or something like that.
And how did they go?
Dog teams.
Dog teams?
Yes.
Or did they walk?
Well, they didn't ride. They just walked with their dogs.
With their dogs. And
ran behind the sleds.
Mm-hmm. Then these prospectors had to work fast, and that may account for the small cabins. That we have in the early days.
That's exactly what accounts for it.
A cabin in 30 days.
Anything to get a roof over your head and keep the snow out is all that's necessary.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other interesting things that happened?
Well, the rivalry between Chena, town of Chena, and Fairbanks for the courthouse.
Oh, that's interesting.
We were sure we had a camp here and that we would have to have a courthouse, and of course the law enforcement people would be in here in a short time. Chena said that they had hit at navigation and they couldn't get up here. There's no use of putting it here because they couldn't possibly get up here with steamboats. So they took up a collection, some of the businessmen here, and they sent George Matlock and myself up to the head of the 30-mile slough to blow out a log jam there, which would let more water from the Tamanol in here and give us water for navigation. So George and I went up there. We had 10 days to go on, 10 days food, and they were paying us $15 a day, we found. We went up there and we had 10 or 12 kegs of powder with us, and we used them. Whenever we'd see a team coming down the trail, coming in, stampeders coming in, why, we'd shoot off another charge. When they'd come to town, they'd ask the first thing, well, how are the boys getting along at the log jam? Oh, they're working. We heard them blowing. So that went all right. Then Jim Wickersham came over here, and he decided that Fairbanks would be where the courthouse was. He was the judge. It was the same Wickersham that went to Nome and cleaned up that mess down there that great story is about the spoilers, you know.
Mm-hmm. He wrote several books.
Yeah. Something seems to be binding it there somewhere.
That is all the time we have for this session, and thank you, Mr. Badger, very much for the information that you have given us about the early days in Fairbanks. This is Mrs. Nick Item of the Telefac program from the College Community Women's Club. Thank you and good night.
Trail.
As we say.
Got
too soft. Yeah, sent his dogs back and he went
right across country
on foot. And he had no food
excepting
some dried dog salmon
he got from the Indians. His name was
Dodson.
Jim Dodson.
We call him Windy Jim.
He's no relative of the Dodson of Jim Dodson we know here, as far as I know. But he
contacted the telegraph people and sent
a wire out to Washington
to know if we could
get some food from Fort Yukon in case we went out entirely.
So
that was settled. And
along about the 1st of June, Jim come floating down the river with three logs
tied together with willows
from the
good pasture.
That's just
another old timer.
Did he have food with him? Did he bring food on his logs?
He didn't have any dogs.
On the log.
Oh, yes, he got food there. They ran
again
food.
To get him back.
Mr. Badger, time has caught up with us.
Good.
And
for this one program, I think that is all that we will have time for. We
certainly thank you very much. Will the
listening audience
be on around so that I hear this story continued?
The next program will be a continuation of some of the early facts about the early days. This is Mrs. McIdam of the College Community Women's Club.
Thanks.
We do thank you, Mr. Badger, very much for your time.